Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us is Congressman John Shimkus of the 19th Congressional District in Illinois. We're going to get his general reaction to the capture of Saddam Hussein over the weekend, and we'll also be talking with him briefly near the end of our conversation about a letter that he was a co-signator to the FCC regarding a very controversial FCC ruling. Congressman Shimkus, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Todd, great to be back with you. Thanks for having me.
John, your general reaction to the capture of Saddam Hussein yesterday?
Well, just like everyone I bumped into yesterday at church and throughout the day is just very, very pleased and thankful, appreciative of the men and women in uniform that have done a great job. And really, it's a liberating aspect for the Iraqi people.
Is this capture, as significant as it is it going to change anything for our troops and the general situation in Iraq today?
Well, I think that's to be seen. I think immediately there might be a big backlash, and you might see the Baathists really, out of frustration, just throw everything they can at us. But in the long run, to see Saddam Hussein, who viewed himself as a lion of the Arab world, the next Saladin, to throw out the invaders, looking like a disheveled, a homeless person, not even willing to fight back, really is probably a crushing defeat for the remaining Baathist elements. Why would they continue to fight for this man when he's not willing to fight for himself? One, the other, but there's still a concern of the new elements that are in Iraq, the Islamic fundamentalists, the terrorists. I think they're going to be there causing us problems for a long time.
You were recently in Iraq over a weekend. I think I spoke with you shortly after that trip, and you saw things there that were strong indicators of the kind of crimes that were committed under Saddam Hussein's quarter-century rule. Review some of what you saw there and how that speaks to the crimes of which this man will be accused.
Well, this guy is as bad as Hitler was. He's an Arab Hitler with, in essence, jail dissidents, mass graves, biological torture and weapons of mass destruction on his own people, gassing the Kurds. The mass grave site I saw was at a place called Al-Hila near the ancient city of Babylon. They project 3,000 to 5,000 people in that grave site, one of over 250 grave sites around the country. I'm a death penalty supporter. It was interesting. I got a question on radio today about they bet I didn't pray for this guy in church yesterday. I said, well, you know, don't get me wrong. You know, we believe in the forgiveness of all sins. But there's also, we believe in the consequences of forgiven sin. And the consequences of the forgiven sin, if Saddam would repent, would be death. There's no doubt that this guy deserves a death penalty.
What information would you hope we can get from Saddam Hussein before or during any trial that will be held in the future? Just today, there was reported that there's been a capture of two other significant leaders in the Baathist Party, and it came directly from information, they're saying in the news, supplied by Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, I think that would be the best stuff we could get for near-term relief of any additional attacks on our young men and women there, anything he can give us. You know, obviously, if we can get information on weapons of mass destruction, he could have been misled himself. He could have been bravado and making claims that, you know, he couldn't know that he could produce connections with terrorism. I don't know if we're going to get much out of him. I'm pleased that we've gotten what he has so far. Any help to clarify the confusing instances about, you know, if he had weapons of mass destruction, where'd they go?
Were you surprised by the nature of his capture and his condition when he was captured, especially the fact that he was basically found alone under a sheep pen in a hole?
Yeah, I think most people probably thought he had, especially when you know of some of the underground facilities he had, the ones that have hints of underground weapons labs. I think most people would have thought that he would be somewhat in better shape than what he was, based upon the millions of dollars that he had. The reality speaks differently, and of a person that was doggedly on the run. It's probably a tribute to our young men and women in uniform who've been after him. This guy was fleeing for his life and had been successful in his evasiveness. But this is like the proverbial needle in a haystack. Can you imagine a hole in the ground in the state of California, which is equivalent to Iraq, trying to find that, and it was done, and we're just very pleased at it.
We're talking with Congressman John Shimkus of the 19th Congressional District in Illinois about the capture of Saddam Hussein over the weekend. John, you're a former soldier. What do you expect this capture will do for all those men who have been so diligently in their own ways, directly and indirectly, all those service people, trying to find him and to pacify Iraq? What will it do for their morale?
Well, I think the morale is sky high now. I think they'll look at it and say, when you put it in perspective, this guy was a modern-day Hitler. Sacrifices being made are justified to get this guy off the streets. I'm sure they're very, very pleased.
Where should Saddam Hussein be tried, and by whom?
Well, I concur. Before even the pundits were talking, when the first I got asked this yesterday was, the crimes committed were committed primarily against the Iraqi people. They're going to have to get their act together with the Constitution and the rule of law and an independent judiciary and with prosecutions and defense. But they're the people to do it, and I can guarantee you there's enough evidence there.
What will the capture of Saddam Hussein do for the war on terrorism? It's on many fronts in Afghanistan and elsewhere. What will it do to further, if it does, the war on terrorism?
Well, basically, the Bush Doctrine says, we're going to go after terrorists and those countries that harbor them. That's why we're in Afghanistan. That's why we overthrew the Taliban. We think there was connections to terrorists or the threat of weapons of mass destruction or a big bluff by those folks. Our success in Iraq will continue to show the world, hey, look, you either clean up your own borders, get rid of the terrorists, be respectable members of the international community, or if we see that your activities in your own borders threaten the United States, you better be wary because the primary role of the federal government is protection of its citizens, and we're serious about that business.
Congressman, finally, you recently signed a letter, along with other congressmen, addressing a recent ruling of the FCC regarding an obscenity that the FCC is permitting on the airwaves. Tell us about that.
Well, the letter is to let the FCC know that members of Congress are watching their rulemaking, and obviously it's the rulemaking allowing certain use of more explicit words in over-the-air broadcast, which would not be considered inappropriate anymore. And these are public airways. You have to have standards. We don't want to continue to degrade those standards based upon the challenge that we have already. Why they would do this is unfathomable, and they're going to be held accountable. We're going to keep putting pressure on them for the FCC to uphold some decency over the public airways.
Congressman John Shimkus, thank you very much for being our guest again on Issues Etc.
Todd, my pleasure. You take care.
Congressman John Shimkus of the 19th Congressional District in Illinois, his reaction to the capture of Saddam Hussein. Now, I'd like your reaction to the news yesterday, and if you'd like to react a little bit to that conversation and the previous conversation with Dr. John Warg Montgomery, what should we do with him now that we've got him? We have only 10 minutes left in Issues Etc. today, but it's all yours if you'd like it at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. If you weren't able to call before during those conversations and you're able to do so now, feel free to do just that. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. A scant 10 minutes left. Let's go first to Stan, who's calling from his car. Stan, welcome to Issues Etc.
Oh, thank you, Pastor. I just find it almost amusing, but sadly so, that England and France and Germany are all saying, oh, we shouldn't kill Saddam. He shouldn't be put to death. And just go back not that many years, a blip in history, when they were fighting for the freedom of their country at the Nuremberg trials, they hung 11 of their opponents. But now they don't want Americans or whoever to kill Saddam. When the Bible says, man sheds man blood, by man his blood shall be shed. I don't understand what they're coming from or what the reasoning is on all this. But I was so happy to see them get him. It's not going to slow it down. I don't think it'll make the fundamentalists even more crazy for a while. But hopefully, it will eventually subside enough they can get a constitution and we can get out of there.
Stan, thank you very much. Now, well, yeah, I guess there is a bit of an irony there, isn't there? A bit of inconsistency there that in the Nuremberg trials, when it was the aggressor against them, that they saw fit to hang them, and I think that was the right thing to do. What kind of justice do you mete out to someone whose crimes no one has laws to cover? I mean, there are some crimes so big you can't write laws to cover them. So do you think that Saddam Hussein should get the death penalty? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Do you think he should be tried in an international court, a U.S. court, or an Iraqi court? If it means an Iraqi court, are you willing to wait? It may take years before they have a system capable of trying him in Iraq. What do you think? 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I agree. I woke up yesterday morning. In fact, it was this very thing that woke me up. I was laying there in bed, just sleeping soundly. The telephone rang. Who would be calling me at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning? It was my mom. She said, turn on the TV. I think they got Saddam. I turned it on, and there it was, his living color. Saddam Hussein, haggard, all grown out, scruffy beard, submitting to an exam by U.S. military doctors. They'd captured him. You remember looking down through the camera's eye into that hole where he had apparently been hiding when they caught him? Just a little hole dug in the ground, little fan for air, just enough to keep him alive. Not a shot was fired. Not a shot. I was happy. I was ecstatic. My 12-year-old walked into the bedroom. I said, honey, they got Saddam Hussein. Good news. I remember going about the rest of the morning for the next hour or so, just feeling that, you know, this is such good news. I don't think that anything the rest of this day could top that. I was wrong. You know, later that morning, I heard better good news. Better news than the fact that we had actually caught a dictator who had harassed and murdered and oppressed his own people with impunity for a quarter of a century? We finally got him, and he will be brought to justice in one form or another. Better news than that? Yes, better news. I didn't have to wait long to hear it, either. You know where I heard it? I didn't hear it on CNN, and I didn't hear it on Fox News, and I didn't read it in the paper. Church. I heard it in church. You're right, Craig. A couple hours after hearing the good news that Saddam Hussein had been captured, I was sitting in the pew of my own church, listening to my pastor preach, and he gave me better news than what I'd heard earlier that day. You know what he told me? Now, he didn't tell me this in so many words. His sermon dealt with the call of repentance to John the Baptist and the one to whom John the Baptist was pointing, both those who were awaiting Christ's coming the first time and us who await his second coming. Those are the terms in which he preached the sermon. But in effect, you know the news that he gave me? The news he gave me
Well, you know, we're now going to be talking about Saddam Hussein as the new Hitler. Instead of Hitler being cited as the worst of the worst, we'll all just use Saddam's name from now on, I think. No longer will it be, well, if anybody's in hell, it's got to be Hitler. You know, the next generation will be talking about, if anybody's in hell, it's got to be Saddam Hussein. And we're right in judging him to be of the caliber of criminal along with Adolf Hitler. That's true. My pastor told me that I deserved to be tried and convicted, that I have committed crimes against humanity, not just against my close neighbors and my near and dear and against God, but against all of humanity. The word of law that I heard preached on Sunday morning told me in no uncertain terms that when it comes to criminals and those who deserve death, yeah, you can talk about Hitler and Pol Pot and Slobodan Milosevic and Augusto Pinochet and Saddam Hussein, but you also have to list yourself. I have to list myself. That doesn't mean they're not guilty of their crimes. They certainly are, and they should be found guilty. And they should receive justice, the justice due their crimes here in this world. But I am in every sense as guilty. Have I murdered hundreds of thousands of people and sent them to mass graves or gassed my enemies or engaged in aggressive wars or threatened the world? No. Well, maybe I have. Not in what I've done, but in what I've thought. And this isn't just an issue of, well, God sees all sin as the same size. This is an issue of sin is sin. And the guilt of my sin, while its consequences may be much less than those of Saddam Hussein, its guilt is no less. And just like the haggard, old, tired fugitive from justice that we saw yesterday on CNN, dragged out of his hole, I was hiding in my own little hole. You know what I thought of later that day when I saw again the footage of that little hole? A man who had once caused millions to tremble, reduced to hiding in a hole. I thought about Adam. After he has fallen into sin, Adam flees. He hides himself. He not only covers his nakedness and shame, but he goes and he hides himself. And when God comes calling, Adam, where are you? Knowing full well where Adam is and what he's done, Adam is hiding. There's no difference between Adam hiding there in the garden, running in and out behind the trees, hoping that God won't see him or find him or catch him, than Saddam Hussein, fleeing from place to place and hiding in holes. And there's no difference between Adam and me. All mankind fell in Adam's fall. One common sin infects us all. Do we believe it? You know, that's the word that I heard on Sunday morning, but that wasn't the good news. That was the bad news. That was the word of the law that I needed to hear before the real good news, better than the capture of Saddam Hussein. It was better news. And you know what? I don't have to wait once in a lifetime to hear it. The Saddam Hussein capture is good news that you really only get once in a lifetime. We will remember this along with the toppling of the statue and September 11th and all the other momentous historical events that we have been privy to see in the last 2 years. We will remember them for the rest of our life. We remember where we were and who we were with when they occurred. But the good news that's better than the capture of Saddam Hussein, we don't have to wait once in a lifetime to hear it. We hear it, we can hear it every day. We hear it every week as often as faithful pastors and preachers convict us with that law that tells us that one sin infects us all. Hitler, Saddam Hussein, Pol Pot, Slobodan Milosevic, Augusto Pinochet, Todd Wilkin, and you. We've all fled in shame and fear of a God that we know is coming. We've hidden ourselves, but that's to no avail. He finds us. We didn't want to be found. We did not want to be found, but he found us, hiding in our little hole. And he pulled us out, and he brought us to justice, but a different kind of justice than Saddam Hussein will see. God's justice, God's righteousness. He brought us guilty before a tribunal bigger than any international court, the tribunal of the cross. And after showing us our guilt for all of our crimes, as my pastor did on Sunday morning, he showed us the one who paid for them, Jesus Christ. We didn't want to be found. We didn't want to have to answer for our crimes. God found us nonetheless. And he showed us that although we are guilty, each and every one of us, that in God's eyes, there are no Hitlers or Saddam Husseins. They're just sinners. All guilty. All deserving punishment, more punishment than we could ever imagine. That punishment was taken by Jesus Christ on the cross for us. In full, 100%. Would that Saddam Hussein would learn this from his American captors. The guilt of his sin, the sweetness of repentance that leads to the forgiveness of sins. Same repentance and forgiveness of sins that John the Baptist was preaching to the ordinary people of his day before Christ's first coming. Christ has borne our sin at the cross. It's better news than the capture of Saddam Hussein. It's how God has captured us, sinners, when we were not wanting to be found, and brought us to justice at the tribunal of the cross and showed us there what we had done and the one who answers for what we have done. Jesus Christ, our Savior, who bore our sins in his body. Hey, we could talk about Saddam Hussein and Hitler. We have to point the finger back at ourselves as too. That's just bad news, more bad news. The only good news, really the only good news, is the justice that God has worked at the cross for each and every one of us. A justice that although we are guilty says, you are innocent. Christ has paid for your sins. You are free. Now go. You're forgiven. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.